what God's doing in Brother Matthew's life. Amen. And I guess, you know, I've been here close to 5 years now, and you see God doing certain things. And I have over the years watched God move in certain lives. People mature, people grow, and it's exciting. But I guess Matthew has probably been one of the, I guess when I came here, we recently was looking at some pictures of how little he was when I came here. It's amazing, amen. And he's probably thinking I was a lot littler as well, amen. But I remember coming here and just Brother Matthew, and I didn't have a clue that that young man would be preaching the gospel standing behind the sacred desk right here. I had no clue. I never even went to him, and even I never even went to Matthew and said, you know, your granddad's a preacher, you're supposed to be a preacher. I didn't do that, amen. I don't believe in trying to pull anybody into ministry, but I've watched as God begin to touch him. And you can ask my wife, even before he said he was called to preach, I remember there was a youth camp as I watched God moving on him in the altars. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know everything the future holds, but I'll tell you this, there's something going on there. God's got a special grip there, and you see it every now and then to where you can just tell it's a wrestling. And unless you felt the call into ministry, wrestling is probably the best way to put it. Amen. God, I don't want to step out and say I'm called to preach unless I know, but once you know, you can't unknow it. Once you know, you can't unknow it. And once you know it, you can embrace it and go with it, and it is the most fulfilling thing in a person's life. Amen. Appreciate Brother Matthew. Want him to obey the Lord. After this, brother, I didn't give you much instruction. I'm sorry, but I want you to deliver what God's given you, and Brother Shane will come up right after you, and Brother Shane will conclude the service however he feels led to do so. But obey the Lord, Brother Matthew. Give him a good hand clap as he's coming. Amen. Obey the Lord.
Well, amen. We've already had a good service tonight. I'm thankful for what God's already done in the service. I'm looking forward to what he's going to do. About a week ago, Derek contacted me and Shane and told us that he wanted us to preach this message. And thankfully, I'd already had something on my heart and my mind. And I was not ready, but I was getting there. And he was talking about a time limit. And I don't think I would take too long because I know how Shane is. But I'm just going to try to preach what God's laid on my heart and do my best. We're going to be starting in Malachi 4:1. And it says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." This is the end of the Old Testament, the last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament, and it was a curse of wicked. But over the course of history and over the New Testament, everything would change, and a Savior would come. So with God's help, tonight I will be preaching on "This Changes Everything." And Derek, if you could pray over the sermon tonight.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer, we do appreciate Brother Matthew, the word that you've given him. Would tonight, God, that we here in this congregation, everybody on these pews, God, will receive of you, Lord. Use Brother Matthew, God, anoint him. Let him feel that touch from heaven. Let him feel liberty of the Holy Ghost, God, that only you can give. You know this message you've given him. Help him to deliverance. Help us to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Old Testament leaves off with a curse of judgment for the wicked. God's people had done wrong. They had stolen from him. They had turned to idols multiple times. God had helped them, corrected them, yet they continued to go away. He was going to punish them. And so the last chapter, like I said, the last book, was about the punishments of the wicked, the curse that there was going to be on them. And then after that, 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there are men like Abraham and Moses and Isaiah and all these great prophets and men of God that had special relationships with Christ. But over the 400 years between the Old and New Testament, you don't really hear of any of those men. God wasn't really talking to the people. There was a silence, there was a darkness, like even Derek talked about this morning, that there was no special relationships between men. John the Baptist was the end of the silence and making a way for the Messiah. He came out and cried out that the Messiah was coming, that prepare your way, prepare your heart, for when the Savior comes, you'll want to be ready. He was the breaking of the silence, but Jesus was the fulfilled plan of 4,000 years of prophecy. He was the true thing that the people were looking for, because for 400 years no one talked, and then here came the Messiah. What a change from what they were used to. The silence turned to great sounds of joy as you hear John the Baptist saying the Messiah is coming, as you hear the angels singing that the Lord is here, glory to God. In Luke 2 and 10, it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you will be born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." They went from silence to a Savior, and now the angels were proclaiming that the glory of God had departed from heaven and come to the earth. Jesus was the ultimate gift to the world, but he wasn't the king the Jewish people expected. They were thinking someone was going to come as a regime and overthrow the Roman government and set up an empire. But he wasn't the king the Jewish people expected, but he was the Savior they needed. He was the one that had come to save them from their sins, and more than they needed a king like they had wanted in the past, they needed a Savior. Because for hundreds of years they had done it their own way. They had no God, they had nothing, but here he came. Simeon proclaims in Luke 2 and 30, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Simeon realized that this was the Savior, this was the God, this was the light to break the darkness. John the Baptist had broken the silence by proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. The angels had proclaimed the Messiah was here. Now the darkness had been broken by a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. Jesus was the answer to the Old Testament, and he was the person that was going to deliver them from the silence. But much like the Old Testament, much like the New Testament, where it broke out of the darkness, we too were in darkness, like Derek talked about. We were destined for hell. We had no purpose, we had no place, and we were going towards the world. But a baby was born and eventually offered up for our sins. A Savior went to Calvary, went to the cross, so we wouldn't have to. When we were in darkness, when we were meant to hell, God came and gave his Son so we could go to heaven. He became a lighthouse to show us the way and save us from a path of destruction. And like it was sung a few weeks ago, if it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this should be? If it wasn't for Christ coming to the earth, so many things would be different. But the Messiah came and gave up his life, and that changed everything forever. In the Old Testament, there was always a symbol for the presence of the Lord was. For the children of Israel, there was in the desert, there was a cloud by day and the fire by night. There was the Holy of Holies. There was the Ark of the Covenant. There was many different symbols where God was, where the presence of God was. The three wise men saw the star of Bethlehem. In Matthew 2 and 2, it said, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." They went to Herod because they desperately wanted to find the king to worship them. They were desperate for that. They were searching for that. And the symbol of where God was that star of Bethlehem that shined in the night. So they followed the star shining in the night to find the way to Jesus. And we've all seen the picture of that star. We can all picture it in our head. It kind of looks like a T almost. It's very tall and pointy, not like an original star. And the ironic thing was, when Jesus was 33 at the end of his life, you could find him at a similar shape. He was nailed to a cross that almost looked like that star. Because love had brought him down to man, but now love had nailed him to the cross. He had given up heaven and all the glory and awesomeness of its splendor to become a poor baby, hated by many, live a poor life, and to die on a cross, sacrifice to the world. He gave up angels for the people, and he gave up an eternity of glory to come down to live a life and die. But he did that so no longer do we have to make sacrifices, because he was the ultimate sacrifice and he was a spotless lamb. No longer do our sins get covered, but they're washed away and he completely changes us. No longer do we rely on a high priest to advocate for our sins, but we can talk to Jesus anytime. We can talk to him anywhere. We can talk to him about any need, and we have an advocate with the Father. Before they had to rely on others. Once a year they would have a ceremony of the Holy of Holies where they would be offered up for their sins, but we no longer have to do that. We have prayer meeting. We have asked for prayers, and we ask for these things because we know we have the opportunity to go to God anytime, because he changed the way of the Old Testament to make the New Testament. He made us more available, and he made himself more available. This truly changes everything. He changes the way we sing, the way we talk, how we live, and who we are is all completely changed. He takes the worst person and makes them the best. He turns our lives around and offers us everlasting joy. For when we were yet in darkness, we were destined for hell. But because of that baby, because of the Messiah, because of the promise and the prophecy, we're promised a family reunion in heaven and eternity of everlasting joy. He didn't let us suffer there. He didn't let us go towards hell, but he gave his son to die for us. When we were his enemy, he died for us. When he was enemy, he cared for us. He didn't let us go astray, but he gave everything he had to make us go the way he was. The wise men cried out, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" They were searching for an answer and for a king. And this day, the world is looking for a king. So many people turn to drugs, alcohol, perversion, pleasure, and every manner of wickedness and sin. They say they're living their best life and not to judge them, but their soul is yearning to fill the void in their heart that this world cannot fill. Millions say that they're born certain ways, or they feel certain ways, or this, that, and the other. But all they're trying to do is fill the void that only God can fill. They're making up excuses, and they're making up different situations to fit their depravity of God. They don't know what to do with themselves, or they turn to the world. And like the wise men, they're looking for something. They're desperately looking for something to serve, to something to rule them. And they give themselves over to the wrong thing. In this dark day, we must be a symbol of where the presence of God is, though. We must be a light to shine in the dark world. We must point them towards Christ like the star of Bethlehem did. Without that star, they didn't know where to go because it was dark. But when they found Jesus, they found the answer to the King. They found a Savior. They found what they were looking for. Over 100 churches get shut down every single week. Over 50 million babies will be killed this year alone. There are so many statistics that will show you just how violent and just how perverted the world is. It will show you truly how full of darkness the world is. But in such a dark and wicked world, we must shine and point the way to Jesus. We must be the representation of where Jesus is. Because now instead of a star, we must be the light. And so when people ask, "Where is Jesus?" we have to be the symbol of where he is. Because He lived on the earth, and you could see him when you looked at the star. Then you could find him at the cross, but now you can find him in your heart. Because he changes every aspect of where you are. Because when he came to this earth, he changed the world, and he changed the people of this world. And when he comes into your heart, he changes you in the way that you live. And when he comes, people know where he is. Whether it's through the symbols of the Old Testament or the star in the New Testament, everyone would always know where Jesus was, or they're asking for where he is. And likewise, in this day, people are looking for where Jesus is. They're looking for the Savior. So we have to be a light to shine in this world, to show them where he is. If we are an example to them, that we can have a hope that they too can be saved. Because Jesus, like he gave the Great Commission to go out and tell the world. Because he didn't want to keep it for a few people. He didn't come for the Gentiles or for the Jews, but he came for everyone. So I say shine on. When people are looking at you, let them see Christ. When they look at you, let them see example of the Savior. Because his birth, his death, his resurrection changed everything. That we don't rely on the world, but we rely on Christ. When he saves us, he changes everything. The world is searching for a king. They're searching for something. And when they can't find their way, we must be a light to show them the right way. Because I know many of you, people come up to you and ask you to pray for them. People come up to you and talk to you because they can see the light. Even through the darkness, even when they don't really know, they can see the light. I've known atheists that ask people to pray for them. I know different religions that ask for people to pray for them because they know they're a Christian. Even the people that proclaim to be different things can see that they're still in the darkness and that they need the light. In a world searching for a king, we must be a light to show them a Savior. We must shine on, and no matter what happens, we must go to Christ with every need. He'll come to us with every answer. If we show the world the same peace that we have, we can trust that they'll be in the family reunion too, up in glory. He gave us a promising hope, because this baby was the fulfilled prophecy. Everything that happened was right with what the Bible said. When he came to die. He didn't come to live a long, luxurious life, because he gave that up. To come to die for us. And when he came, he was the breaking of the silence, the breaking of the darkness. He was the light, he was the Savior, he was the King. He was literally the answer to every problem that they had. And likewise, he is the answer to every problem that we have nowadays. Like Derek said this morning, we're not too different from the life of the Old Testament Isaiah described. This world is wicked, is perverted, and like in the Old Testament, the people are stealing from Christ, they're turning to idols, they're turning to the ways of the world. And they're not going to find their own way to Christ. No amount of reason or wisdom can find the answer. But Christ is the only answer to every problem that we can find. That baby was the answer to what they wanted. He changed everything. He changed the way they lived. He changed the course of history. People are still talking about the birth of Jesus 2,000 years later. People that don't even serve him have a manger in their front yard this time of year. People that don't even serve him are sending Christmas cards that have Jesus on it this time of year. He has made an impact that no one can dispute. And that baby has changed everything. But the baby wasn't there just to be a baby. He grew up, and 33 years later, he died on a cross and went back to heaven. I wonder if the angels knew what was going to happen. Why would he come down to man? But even more so, why is he on a cross now? But now they can see that he lives in our hearts. Now they can see that we are now the fulfillment of that Christ has planned. And he's coming back again. And if we are the lights, others will come towards us that they might go to. So shine on in every dark place of life and through every situation, no matter what comes our way, we have to shine on so that others may too see the lights. So in a world searching for a king, be a light to show them the Savior. Because that's the meaning of Christmas, is a Savior coming down to earth. He's the ultimate gift, the ultimate presence, and he was the light to shine in the darkness.